Russ, it's really a pleasure to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity, and I commend you guys for being here to continue your education. My story today kind of stems back from, why I'm here, I guess, as a better place to start. Dr. Whittier asked Dan Baker, myself, to come and speak to his introduction to animal science class earlier this year, really about a similar topic, and it's a good message. It's kind of a Trent Luce message. It maybe not be quite as fun, but I hope you guys get some value out of this. It's really a pleasure to be here. They always say if you can't write it down on a napkin, if you can't tell your story on a napkin, it's too complicated. So it's really about four words and five numbers. It's really about safe, affordable, and abundant food. And we believe that no matter what perspective you guys come from, anyone, no matter what perspective they come from, that we can align to this. Now, there's a number of factors that influence the delivery of a safe and affordable and abundant food supply. We really believe there's two key factors that get us there the quickest, and that's technology and choice. When you look at the five numbers, the first three there, 50, 100, and 70. You may have seen these before. About 2 years ago at Elanco, we kind of got fed up with being reactive to all the issues of people talking about, we don't want this technology in our food, we're going to ban this, we're going to label against that, and we decided we're going to take a proactive approach. And so we wrote this white paper based upon science, based upon statistics, and that 50-170 means by the year 2050, we're going to need 100% more food, and 70% of it's got to come from technology. I'm going to hit more on that in a minute. The 95 and 4 is really the basis for our new white paper, and I'm going to hit on that about middleway through the presentation. Why talk about this right now? How many of you have bought or sold $6 corn in the last 30 days? How many of you have bought or sold a $900 steer calf in the last 30 days? So commodity prices are as high as they've ever been. We've got more trade barriers in place than we've ever been. Paul's going to talk to us about what he's doing to address those here in a minute. We've got probably the greatest global recession since the 1930s. So the time is now. That's a call to action here. By 2050, we're going to need 100% more food, and 70% of it's got to come from technology. If you guys watch the statistics, we just recently hit the 7 billionth person on the planet. We started talking about this 2 years ago. There was 6.5 billion. And by 2050, they're saying 9 billion, and that's what's going to require 100% more food. So we're on our way. This is coming to fruition. Unfortunately, we don't have 100% more land just sitting there waiting for us to tie into and produce this food. Actually, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, we actually have enough land to produce maybe 20% of that. We can maybe garner another 10% from increased cropping intensity, and the rest of it's got to come from technology. So that's really the basis of the discussion today. So, first of all, what is technology? What are we talking about? Everything you guys heard this morning, I mean, you couldn't build a better lead into this today. When you talk about technology, we're talking about practices. We're talking about bunk management, ration formulation, good nutrition, good animal health. All those things come into play there. We're also talking about the products, all the way from the tractor with the GPS planter, to the feed additive in the ration, to the bottle of antimicrobial that we use to treat BRD with. And then finally, we're talking about the genetics, which you guys heard a lot about this morning. And that's really about improving directly the plants and animals that we grow. So why is technology important then in meeting this need? Is because it all results in greater efficiency. However you do the math, we get there with less by using technology. And that efficiency then leads us to the affordability and the abundance of the food. And when we think about that in terms of hunger, it becomes all that much more important when we realize that about one out of every two people in the developing world lives on less than $2 a day. So that need for abundant food, affordable food, becomes critical. Technology also, we believe, supports three key rights. First, the right to food. We believe that's a basic human right. Now, I've personally never been hungry. I don't know about you, but I do believe you have to make this a personal issue. Otherwise, this just becomes words and fancy graphics on a slide. Second, we also believe that there needs to be the right to choose. There is a percentage of people that want to choose for us. We believe that it's the consumer's right to be able to choose the products that they want to purchase. And then finally, it's sustainability. It's environmentally right. Technology is. Otherwise, we can't support the food production that we need and still maintain our natural resources. So first of all, let's talk about food as a basic human right. And just a couple of quick stories here. I said just a minute ago, you got to make this personal, and I truly believe that. We've really tried to make this a personal issue at Elanco. And for me, it's been about working with my church to provide school lunch during the summer. It's amazingly local, this hunger problem, food insecurity problem. You don't have to go far to find it. When we started talking about this, we started looking for opportunities. I started working with my church. We fill up a basement of our church every day during the summer to provide lunch to kids who depend upon the school lunch program. A second story that kind of makes it personal for me. We recently had our entire U.S. technical team across all species in the Greenfield for a meeting. We rarely do those. And we took the opportunity to take half a day, just a half a day, to go down to what's the Gleaners Food Bank. It's a large regional food bank. And one of the programs that Elanco and Lilly, our parent company, has helped sponsor there is it's a backsack program, very similar to what we do at our church. But it provides the school lunch over the weekend. And we kind of made a little bit of a competition out of it. We're not very competitive. But we made a competition out of it and to see how many back sacks we could pack in an afternoon. And we thought we did pretty good. We got about 1,000 of them done in an afternoon. Started talking to the lady that runs the program. And she said, yeah, that gets us about a third of the way done for the week. We distribute about 3,400 of those back sacks a week. And kept visiting with her about it, kind of opened our mouth a little bit as to how many of those they were handing out. They said, yeah, our goal is to get to 10,000, but the real need is over 60,000. And this, we're talking about a circle of about four or five counties probably. So it's an amazingly local issue. When we talk about it on a global basis, it is the number one health concern. We're a key part of Eli Lilly and Company, a human health company. And we say we address the number one health concern, and they address the rest. So it is the number one health concern. When we look at it on a global basis, it kills more people every year than war, AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. There's about 25,000 people every day that die because of hunger worldwide. So this is really the issue. We may say that 25,000 people a day, that's like, I think the number 60 jumbo jets falling out of the sky every day. We wouldn't put up with that for very long, would we? I would hope not. Is Connie Quinn in the room? Connie, I'd have to maybe have to hire Ruben to drive me around like he did you if there were that many planes falling out of the sky every year. But how about locally? So if my story about Indianapolis didn't convince you, there may not be a lot of people that die from hunger in the developed world every day, but the food security is still a real issue, especially in children. 2 in 5 in inner London, 1 in 8 in Paris, 1 in 7 in Japan. There's 1 in 5 insecure children from food in the United States. What is it in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska? Is there an issue? So kind of try to put a bow around this basic human right issue for you, just to kind of put in perspective what we're talking about from a resource demand. This is a neat slide, I think. 2007, the Chinese premier said, I have a dream to provide every Chinese, especially children, with sufficient milk every day.